At the Fair by Kathleen Ferrigan. Come and sit on this seat, any human. My lord, girl, is there any of you left? What's that you're saying? Oh, speak up now. Me head's that mithered, it's made me quite deaf. Well, I don't wonder at that, Lizzie Cretney. For ever there was two suffering women, they're right here on this seat in the garden. Aye, Lizzie Cretney and Annie Mae Shimmin. And if anyone this morning just mentions Tinwell Fair Day, salt fish, eggs, in fun, why, they'll get such a swipe round the gob there, my God, but they'll be murdered on. Aye, you're right, girl. What a day we had yesterday. Lord, but I thought I would never come to. And only for them vows at me wedding, I'd have pitched yonder fella out long ago. 30 years me and John has been married. Oh, he's right enough, I suppose, in his way. But that cock there at times, and likes his bottle. Well, you know, for your woolies, that's bad any day. Tet what a Tinwell day. There's me in the kitchen at dawn, chopping up the salt herring for to put in between the bread and butter, near as much as an army would be getting. Aye, not to mention the 6 eggs I'd boiled hard. Well, wasn't I home doing the very same thing? Except I'd sandwiched me bread with sliced kipper. So we'd 2 parcels and 6 eggs to bring. You know, Lizzie, I've been thinking and thinking, and I believe I know what started the jeal. 'Twas that horse of yours casting a shoe there when we were ready for the road out to Peel. Oh, I'm not blaming you, you couldn't help it. But if only I knew we'd to walk, I'd have seen that me fate was more comfortable. But what's the use now? It's too late to talk. Aye, 'twas them bunions of yours, girl, that done it. For we just couldn't keep up with the men. 'Cause they might have give us the slip there on purpose. I wouldn't put it past them, the divils that's in. Aye, and I can see them yet making off round in the corner, with their pockets fair bulging and all, with them good sandwiches. And whose idea was it to put eggs in their caps? Oh, many small. Yes, and us too taking the short cut so stupid, for to save your poor old feet. Oh, well, well, if we hadn't gone through the churchyard, I wouldn't have tripped on that tombstone and fell. Aye, getting both knees ripped out of your stockings and fresh sheep muck all over your dress, and your hat hooked on the wing of an angel, and a real scoothing of dirt on your face. Oh, well, you've no need to go laughing, Annie Shimmin, with them tight shoes of yours making you sweat. And wasn't it me that said, howl on me arm now, and we'll find them sinners of husband's gell yet? Yes, yes, so you did, and mighty glad too I was, Lizzie, of your help on me way, and the both of us with our mouths fairly watering for them eggs and salt herring. What a day! Aye, and neither of us in the... Neither of us in the end, with no notion of where in the world we were at. My, if I'd only got a grip on John correctly, I'd have brained the old dirt, I would that. And not a soul passing up by the lane there, but to give us a lift to St. John's. Why, you'd have thought we were far out in some desert, only for the trees and the ferns and gorse bonds. And to think while we were... Oh, Father Killia, you and me, and the fair weary and done, and near starved, that your John and my Willie was up there at the fair having fun. And them sandwiches all ate at the two of them, full as mollocks they must have been, for the eggs wasn't forgot at them, was forgotten at them. Inside their caps still, on their heads, while they swayed on their legs. Aye, and a fine thirst too there must have been on them, after galloping all that heron and kipper. They'd be rowling from one pub to another, like ships yawn about with no skipper. Yes, and singing the wreck of the heron fleet, Hunt the Wren, aye, and Malacca Wren, fit to lift all the stalls off the green there. Why, they must have been heard at Ballacanane. Aye, and not a note of music between them, when they're sober, let alone when they're tight. It's no wonder the chapel one shifted them out of the choir there last anniversary night, for your Willie was spellering praise him at the top of his voice, while my John was fair letting it rip with Hosanna, when the rest of the choir had sat down. Isn't it awful to think of the two of them, showing themselves up there like that at the fair? Aye, and joining the procession at the church door, and walking on the rushes spread there. Yes, and them bowing and scraping so ginnel to the crowds gathered up either side, fair delighted them with all their capers. Go it, Johnny Cretney, they cried, and your Willie a shouting, Craggis, that's you, brow, brow, cred you go, and heave I. Aye, the same words all over and over. Well, that's all the Manx that he knows, that's why. And you needn't go talking, Lizzie Cretney, for your John was just as much of a fool, pretending he was the governor himself there, shoving past the high bailiff and little Deemster Cool. Yes, with your Willie hanging onto his jacket, for he wouldn't let go, he were telling. Didn't we get all the news from Joe Jem's wife? Noisy awful. And her and Betsy Gellin. And of course they'd be there at the front seats with their eyes fairly stuck out on stalks. Aye, there's no show without punch, as the saying goes, and my laws, how them two women can talk. Yes, and I'll bet you the whole island is known what happened to your John and my Will. Oh, why couldn't they have gone up Slewellyan instead of skeeting there round Tinwald Hill? Aye, and us arriving to see them both creeping up the back of Tinwald Hill through the crowds, like a land and she looking for some place to settle high up in the clouds. And it's a wonder to me they kept quiet while the laws was getting read out in Manx, but they'd be stupid with Jock and near-winded with heisting themselves up them green banks. Yes, and nobody never seeking nothing, as the two of them got near to the top and stood just within reach of the governor, if only someone had told them to stop. But all of them once seen there was freckin' interfere. Laws were a dress on them all, as they tried to catch the eye of a policeman. Thank the Lord there wasn't one within call. Aye, then one of the men down from the quays up give Johnny and Will two sharp digs. Take your hats off, he says, for the quality, and stop smoking them stinking old cigs. So the pair of them whips off their caps then, and my Lord, what a shower of boiled eggs that bounced down just like manna from heaven, clouting people on head, arms and legs. Aye, and to make matters worse, there was one egg that somehow had never got boiled, and it just missed the governor by inches. My, his grand clothes there might have been spoiled. Yes, but to think it was our own parson that got the full blast of that egg on his head. My, I'll think on that yellow mess down his whiskers next time he tells how the ravens was fed. Lord, I'll bet you he thought it was seagulls letting fly at the ones at the fair. Oh, it's funny enough now it's all over, but yesterday I wish we weren't there. Me too, but thank goodness we met Jim McConyer and his brother that works at the mart. My, they rounded them up them dirts quick as sheepdogs and slung the two of them in the back of their cart, while you and me, though we never knew nothing, walked to the train there as cool as you please, saying fancy when the visitors was talking, and isn't it awful what goes on in these days? Aye, and pretending to be quite concerned like when they tell how two villains of men had made an attempt on the life of the governor, and what poor box of police that was in. Aye, letting the criminals slip clean through their fingers and lose themselves down in the crowds. With such desperate men loose, they were singing, we might all end up this day in our shrouds. Oh, it isn't the visitors I'm minding, but the ones here at home. My, the pant that they'll have with them men of ours, Lizzie, but it'll serve them all right, that I'll grant. It will that. There's my John in bed snoring. Oh, His Excellency, what he, me foot, when he's sober, I'll show him who's governor. A drop of drink, and he's that full of gut. Aye, and my Willie there singing about heron. My, I'll teach him who's king of the sea, for I'd crown him with a slop pail of water when he comes to later on in the day. Well, I don't know about you, Annie Shimon, but there's one thing as true as this tree. If Moses himself leads the Manx, Roars, and Tinwell, there'll be no more junts to the fair gael for me. Putting a sight on Betsy, next door. Hello, and how's things with thee, Betsy? Rheumatic's still playing thee up? Howl on when I fill up the teapot. We'll chat as we get us a cup. Me legs is that tired from standing, as thankful I am for a seat. I went for a sight of the Tinwell, so thee sees, Bet. That's why I'm so late. I left here at 7 this morning to get there before the big crowds. Real misty it was, thick as bedding, and all the sky heavy with clouds, with a middling great cap over Greba. There's no telling what it would do, so I shoved me owl mac in me basket and then put me galoshes in too. Gang, but the fairground was busy with the ones that was putting up stalls. 1 minute there just some timber, the next thing a roof and four walls. Then the wind was blowing from Ramsar. My songs the couth that was in it. I found me a nice sheltered wall, Bet, and lead meself up agin it. And that was the first of me troubles, 'cause I must have leaned a bit hard. The cussed contraption fell over, missed Constable Fred by a yard. What a commotion there was at them as they struggled to put the thing back. I crept away in the scrimmage with the grip on me basket and mac. More tea in the cup then, Betsy, and a piece of me fresh soda bread. Dead us when us won't start on the newses, I'm like to forget me own head. Lord bless thee, I'm not pushed for time, though, Ba. I can stay a while longer yet. Now a nice bit of jam on the flour cake, and the pills for the forget. I just wished he'd seen me this morning, me on hands and knees slathered in dirt, mighty holes big in me stockings, and all the stains down me Sunday best skirt. But the stalls was doing real valiant, the kids getting ices and pop. I treated myself to a cornet with a chocolate bar on the top. Now the fairground was filling with people. They came by bus and by train. That sneaky owl wind was just dropping, and the sun was shining again. So I thought I'd best get up the front there to make sure of a decent view. I reckon it's more for us Manx ones to be at the front, don't you? I got me a nice little corner for to see them come out of the church door. Some young ones pushed right in front of me. My sons, but I give them what for. Then came the governor and deemsters, and the whole mob big of the keys. When they sees the style of them women, they wondered who is it that pays. I'm blessed if I can remember all the beautiful gowns that I've seen. It was surely a sight tremendous, with the hill all lovely and green. I know the first deemster's missus looked as fresh as a cottage rose. She sat with the fella from Russian, with the follicle ferric nose. I was thinking, Betsy, how is it that some get a seat on the hill, and that have not been here 5 minutes? Guy Heng, these soon learn that drill. I met all the ones from the Gary, and we went for a walk round the Hope. I bought young John Henry a penknife, and for a grand skipping rope. There's a parcel for thee in me pocket. Now thee didn't think I'd forget. It's a bit of a brooch that sparkles, for to wear with the black velvet bet. Just look at that clock on the wall there. 'Twas the bedtime an hour ago. Let me give thee a hand up the staircase. Thee's stiff as a board, I know. It's no trouble to me, Betsy Cannell. Don't bother thyself at all. 30-odd years we've been neighbours, and the times that I've give a call to thee for to sit with the childer, or bandage an arm or a knee. 'Tis right that we should be good neighbours, and 'tis now that I must help thee. There's a clock on the shelf beside thee. If thee wants me, knock on the wall. Don't move till I come in the morning. I wouldn't want thee to fall. What is it I'm hearing? That's knocking. Oh, where is the light? It's 7 o'clock in the morning. Or was it the dead of night? My song, it's poor old Betsy. It's knocking, she is on the floor. Where's me slippers and coat and the brandy? And where is that cussed door? Oh, Betsy, me dear, thee looks poorly. It's the doctor for thee, old friend. Just a trace of the brandy to warm thee. I'll find somebody to send. It's feared I am that she's badly. She's terrible lying still there. And she's wearing the brooch that I bought her at yesterday's Tinwell Fair. The Manx afternoon. Aye, there's me working away in me kitchen and singing to meself there and all, that happy because it was Wednesday, so there was no need to hurry on me at all. And me little jobs was all going like clockwork, and me dinner was coming on nice. Aye, a tasty little shank pie with cabbage, and a milk pudding done with raisins and rice. Well, I picked up me floor cloth and wrenched it, and slid it right over the hearth, and give a slick round the room with a duster. Then I got out the little owl tin bath, and I put it sitting down on the rag rug, and threw some gorse bombs on the fire. Then sat soaking me feet in the water, for there was a practice that night at the choir. You see, I cleaned out the henhouse that morning, and the muck was near up to me ears, for it was terrible the rain we'd been having. Laws, we hadn't seen the like, no, not in years. Well, the heat must have made me all drowsy, for me head was not nodding away, when the thought struck me all of a sudden, oh my God, it's the W.I.D. And hadn't I promised to make them some slim cake, and apple cake, and bonnigs and that, for the Manx tea that we were having in November? Well, I stewed the cat off me brat, and stood up and reached out for the towel, and I just got it gripped in me hands, when me foot slithered round in the soap suds. I full length on me back there, I lands. And the bath tipped up, sending the water all over the fire and the floor. Lost the ash and collie that went flying from the chiller to the back kitchen door. I could have cried, only I hadn't the time then, for me clothes were soaked through to the skin. So I stripped there, stark rouish, in the kitchen, when a man's voice shouted, "May I come in?" Oh, my lord, I went up that there ladder like a breeze of wind fanning the corn, and hid under the bed in the cockloft, till whoever was there had gone. But I was all sick till his footsteps went out there, for I'd heard the click-click of the latch, but I'd forgot that the snig kept it fastened, and me shivering up there under the thatch. Oh, my, my, what a skelter I had then, for it was long after 11:30, and the only bus gone up to 2:30, but I got a mighty good git on the oven. And I worked like the divil through me dinner time, for there wasn't even time for a little cup of tea, but I baked all the things that I'd promised, and packed them up and got off on me way. Guy high, I was loaded like a donkey with two big baskets and a carrier bag full and a spare bonnet under me arm lapped in paper. Talk about a ship listing down by the hull. Well, I was just getting near the front gate there when I heard the bus coming out on the road. So I hurried up as fast as I was able, weighted down like I was with me load. And I got as far as them big rhododendrons, when I must have tightened the grip on me arm, for me bonnet give a skewt through the paper and rattled down that ditch towards the farm. Well, I wasn't going to lose me good bonnet, so I whipped it up out of the mire and was wiping it round with me hanky when me sleeve got hooked on some barbed wire. Lord, I sweat like a bull, I can tell you, for I could hear the bus there clank-clanking uphill, so I give a tug that fair ripped out me elbow and sent me sprawling face down in the gill. Then just as I got out of them bushes, the bus rattled past with a git, and I shouted, but it cleared off round the corner, and I might have been standing there yet, only that young feller of Danny Bill Mabel's come out of that big field of kale with a tractor at him dragging a trailer on his way up to Jem Ballaquail. "Oh, Mr. Bus Kerry Ann," he said, grinning. "Hoch, hoch, but that's a pity for all, and it's the Institute due I was hearing. But jump up, girl, I'll drop you off at the hall." So I hoist myself up on the trailer with me baskets and bags round me feet, tick, tit, but them tractors is cowl, though. I could feel the coot striking up me seat. And I had to howl on to me bonnigs, for I was tossed about there like a cork. Then the engine gave out, would you believe it, so there was nothing else for it but to walk. So I took up me load and kept going, but I hoped I'd get another lift soon. For I'd promised me bonnets that fearful for our W.I. Manx afternoon. And I knew that them ones in the kitchen would be jawing if things was all late, for they'd got to be cut up and buttered and laid out all nice on a plate. Well, I went strooking up the road there that tired, then a shower of rain started to fall. And wet mighty I was, for a car stopped and gave me a lift right there up to the hall. Well, I was frickin' to make a noise on the gravel, so I tiptoed round the back on the lawn. For I knew that the helper should be out in front listening to the speaker, besides me coat was all dirty and worn. Then I thought to myself, now's your chance, girl, cut up your bonnets and that. Mind you, I was sorry over to miss the Manx speaker, for he was the best one as gone, he was of that. Well, I crept through the door of the kitchen and put me baskets in a corner of the room, for the only light was coming in from the hall there, so I couldn't see for a minute in the gloom. Then all the ones in the hall started clapping, and I thought, now for a nice cup of tea. For my loss, I was starved and that thirsty, so I switched on the light. Well, what a day! I just couldn't believe my own eyesight, for there wasn't a cup nor a plate to be seen. Then feet shuffled, and there was a chord on the piano. And my God, they sang God Save the Queen. My, but you get some surprises. I was fair took aback, Mrs. Gale. There's me born and bred on the sod there, from the Len where we come, out near Smeal. And there's this one from England come over, that nice and soft-spoken and grand, and me shy as the first shoal of herring, till she smiled and gripped howl of me hand. Then I felt I'd known of her years, Gale, as we talked of the weather and that, and the deal it was doing to the farmers, and I told her about me dog and me cat. Then some coppers dropped out of me handbag and round over the floor in her way, and she counted them back to me, hand there, in real Manx, nain, jeez, tree, kaya, quig, shay. Well, I must have looked a great big soft gobby, with me eyes popping out of me head, for she laughed as she said, Mrs. Quilliam, tell me who's farming now with Flackard, and what happened to Johnny Jim Fidder and his little calf up there in the glen? I can still hear his gruff voice greeting, my lord, is it you, girl, that's in? And whenever I used to come over, he would say, oh, they're gone without fuss. Harry Jem, Nelly Jane, Robbie Neddy, all gone, girl, all gone to the dust. And I remember, too, little Tommy Kermode, with his big pan of pritters each night, and a pringig on him round as a football, and his eyes with a wicked blue light, and her voice had took on the Manx lilt there, like little streams trickling down in the glen. And I knew she was English no longer, as she trod island soil once again, for she'd spent all her days of her childhood on her grandfather's place at Balquhoun. So it's no wonder that my heart warmed towards her, for the soul girl was one of our own. Hi, Lizzie, how long there? My, you're running us over a bit. Lord, help us, me girl, was your hurry? There's a fair gate on you going down the street. And meself here near bursting with newses. Oh, just wait till you hear this good bit about Ellen, Jim, Joe, and young Willie. Guy, hi, but I'm laughing, girl, yet. For you know Willie's ears and his graces since they sent him across to that school. Aye, a waste of good money, I calls it, for no Solomon was ever made from a fool. And Willie's as straight like his father, and they're not a quarter wise, as you know, and Ellen Jim's lot is no better, all so fine and so prim, and just so. Well, never a hand's turned, does Willie, and his mother fluttering round like a hen, that freckin' he'll get himself dirty just driving the car up and down. Oh, aye, any farm works beneath him. So he goes round all day in his gloves, with his best suit and hankies and collar, and smelling of mothballs and cloves.
Well, yesterday he got himself ready to drive his day down to the mart, but they couldn't find the key of the garage, and the old fella set off for to start. "It can't be gone far," shouts out Baba, "for I locked up myself late last night." And there was steaming him, ranting and jawing, and Ellen and him searched left and right. And Willie there, leaning she shiftless, gin the doorpost all dressed up to kill, not helping at all, no, not Willie. They'd a flick you, the like of young Will. Then, "Keep us and save us," shouts Baba. "Get moving, this isn't a lark. Have a look in the cowshed, young Willie. It might have fell on the floor in the dark." So into the cowshed goes Willie, picking his way like some dainty little girl. But his foot struck the key near the window. Then he noticed a queer sort of smell. Aye, someone had left a buck goat there. Aye, and as Willie stooped down for the key, it gave him a root he'll remember, and he skimmed out through the muck. Mercy me. "Oh, Willie, you suit," cried his mother. "Oh, mammy, I'm hurt," wheels the lad. "Come the head, ye," yells Bob, "ye big toot, ye. By God, not a death blow you've had. Change your suit, and we'll get off to the mart now, with a bit less of your splatter and fuss." But Willie was only comfortable standing, so Bobby had to go on the boat. "I thought I'd have split me sides laughing. Oh, Lizzie, I wish you'd have been there, for they're in, as they say, and you can't shoot them. My, it was more pant than a dig at the fair. Well, ta-ra, girl, I'll have to be going. But mind, if you see Ellen Jim Joe, for the Lord's sake, don't let on that I tell you, or it's out through the door quick. I go."
Many years ago, I recorded on a cassette the tenants who occupied the shops in Port St. Mary in the 1920s. Now, in this year of 1992, I decided to make another cassette of the present tenants today. I decided to go up the road to where I started to make my previous cassette and discovered that all the shops had been changed many times since the 1920s, and I had to inquire among some of them who they were and their names and their business. In the 1920s I knew them all. To start again then, I stood on the left parapet and looked to the right-hand side. Mr. Oliver's paint shop had been gone many years. Different tenants are in that house nowadays. Next down, which used to be the well-known Miss McNeil's haberdashery shop, is now tenanted by an insurance broker. Next, which used to be Miss Skelly's sweet shop, is now closed. It used to be a bread shop, and then the village post office, and then a toy shop. The corner shop, which used to be Eaton's, is now the post office. Since the days of Mr. Eaton, that toy shop must have had at least half a dozen previous tenants. On then to the promenade shops, I discovered that the old ship shop was now empty. The next one now is Maureen's. She makes little replicas of old Manx crosses for sale. The third shop belongs to another Maureen who sells ornaments and wool. The fourth shop is still a newsagent's. Now it's occupied by Mr. Alan Quine, and he's shortly to retire. Looking back to the left parapet
and looking down the road, there are a lot of new shops that were not here in the 1920s. The first one there is a showroom of cars with windows to the front and the side. Formerly old Mr. Quillen's chemist shop. Next is the Manx Co-op. It was built in 1927 and has always been a co-op shop. Further down is another building called the Ports of Call. This building incorporates four shops and a washeteria at the back. The first shop is a photographer's. Behind that shop is an office. In the front, in the center, is a cafe. At the lower corner is another ladies' clothing shop. The next shop down the road used to be the cafe of Miss Cool's, but that's changed now, and today it is a sweet shop, also selling cards and various household ornaments and toys. And Mrs. Hallibone is the tenant nowadays. The next shop is now an insurance agent's firm of Blackford's. In the old days, Mr. Frido had it, and then Mr. Tom Kelly had it for a grocery shop. Looking back on the left-hand side, there are two small shops in the old school building. The top one is a lawyer's office, and the lower one is the shop that sells little presents. Going on down, crossing Victoria Road and glancing to the right, that small shop of Mr. Bashforth has now gone and is just a window of a house there. On the other side then, Mr. Teddy Collister's shoe repair shop is now in the front room of a house. Here now on the right is what's called a do-it-yourself shop, as cement and sand and batteries, screws and nails, garden tools and timber can be bought. Mr. Gregor is the tenant there nowadays. In earlier times, of course, it was the well-known shop of Mr. Willie Gells. The next shop is still the only paper shop in the village. This shop has had many tenants since Mr. Quayle's days. No paper boys are employed nowadays, earning the princely sum of 4 and 6 pence a week. Mr. Taylor, the present tenant, takes a few papers to some of the houses close by in the village. Quite a lot of daily newspapers are sold nowadays, but the old Isle of Man Times has ceased publication, I think. Passing the Isle of Man Bank then, the next shop once formerly was the draper shop of Mr. Richard Qualtro, and that is the chemist shop of the village today. It belongs to Mr. Flynn and is the branch of the Douglas shop. On down this one-time cafe of Miss Rattenberry's is changed now and has become a shop selling antiques and glassware and is called the Pindelphin. Crossing over Gallons Avenue, what used to be called the Green Hill, here is the only butcher shop in the port. It used to be Mr. Thomas Clegg's shop, but he's passed on many a year, and the present tenant is a Mr. Ratcliffe. The little shop next door is now closed. The Clegg girls used to have it for a ladies' hair shop. And then next is the vegetable shop, tenanted by Mr. Neen of Croydy Cayley Farm. This shop, too, has had quite a few tenants since Miss Castine's time. Who remembers Mr. Watterson's tailor shop next door? He used to employ 6 tailors for many years. He passed on like the rest of the men, and the shop now has become... No, and the and the shop became a cafe called Smoky Joe's. Afterwards it became a butcher shop, and then a cafe again, and now, in 1992, it is a Chinese takeaway shop. A few yards down is a grocer shop. Not Mr. Frank Maddles, though, as he passed on many years ago. Now the tenant is Mr. Willie Hansen. His wife is in the shop, as he is one of the local postmen. The next shop is the last one on Bayview Road. Again, thinking back, it was for many years the chemist shop of Mr. R.K. Kermode, and Mr. Henry Clegg was the dispenser. Now the shop is one of the hospice shops scattered around the island, and it is very prosperous indeed. On down the street, which used to be a very big, busy place a few years ago, is now a sorry sight. The little cobbler shop of Mr. Maddles, which used to be just below the Carrick Hotel on the left there, has disappeared long ago. Down on the right, there are no shops until you come to the old post office, which is still open but not as a post office. It is a building shop selling windows and timber. It is called the Arctic Shield Company. Coming on down the high street, a pathetic scene of empty shops is seen. I can bring to mind all the names of the owners of the old shops, but the high street was a busy, thriving place at one time. On the right-hand side, here was a greengrocer shop, and next was Billy Cummins, the barber shop, further down a little butcher shop of Turnbull's, and there on the left was a grocer shop and a ladies' outfitter shop. And then a few houses down, Mrs. Kermode's toffee shop. Down on the right, the Alaman Bank is closed and the business has been moved up to Bayview Road. The little kipper shop has been closed for years. Miss Mary Quirk's has been empty for some time now, and the next shop of Collister the Baker's has been closed for a very long time. Mr. V.L. Swill's watch repair photographer's shop has gone, the shop incorporated into the house. Further down, the old shop of Mr. Skillicorn's the Baker's has had several tenants in it, but now it too is empty. Across the street are two more empty shops. A bit further down was the only chip shop in the village. That's closed too. But there is another chip shop further down on the right at Fisted Road by the old well. Down the high street again, there is another closed shop, formerly occupied by Mr. John Oliver, selling paint. Older people knew it as Miss Maggie Gaughan's greengrocer's shop. Mr. Tom Kelly's draper shop is now an upholsterer's shop, and Mr. Alfred Moore's green grocer's shop has been made into a cafe. Next door is a ladies' beauty shop, who remembers when the site was Mr. Gaughan's plumber's shop. On down there's another ladies' shop, and that is the last one, as the former shoe shop of Mr. J.J. Quattles had been closed also many years. Athol Street has only one shop open now, the former shop of Ned Gale's, and that is now a printer's shop. There is no butcher's shop there opposite, and there are notices in the window that it is now for sale. Both the kipper shop and Mrs. Roberts' shop have been made into houses. Mr. Dan Lace's grocery shop became a decorator's shop, but that shop too is empty. Farragher's bakery shop has been closed for several months, but it will open again shortly. It will be well patronised, I hope, as the only other bread shop is the Co-op shop up on Station Road. a long way if it's raining. As anyone can see, the high street shops have all closed, as the original tenants have all passed on and no relatives have taken over. It was a busy street up till 1940. When the war changed everything, all the shops used to employ a message boy who pushed the handcarts sometimes as far as Port Erin. Since the war, the Scottish drifters no longer come in large numbers. No herrings were cleaned and Scottish and salted down in barrels, and so no fish girls were employed, which was a big loss of trade to the lower end of the port. The two cargo boats of the steam packet, the Tyrconnell and the Cushing, stopped coming into the harbours, and now no coal boats come in. The coal yards are closed, and even the gas works mix petrol gas nowadays. There are no shops further down in the port either. The two old shops down the harbour road, which were occupied by Mr. Will Edward Quadrell and Mr. Willie Cool, the plumber, have been made into front rooms of the houses there. Perhaps the advent of the motor cars and the buses caused a loss of trade, as folk could travel to Douglas every hour of the day, quite different from walking up to the railway station in bad weather. There are a number of folks who still have memories of the shops,